This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Welcome to our webinar on the Global Sports Tech VC Report. If you haven't yet seen our VC report, I haven't downloaded it yet yourself. In today's session, over the next, we've budgeted 60 minutes, but I'm probably going to be quicker than that. We're going to go over what are the key findings from the report. We'll cover some of the highlights, the investor ecosystem, all the good stuff that we've got in the report. And yeah, it's a long document. If you haven't had the time to go through it, then this is a good time to catch up. All right. Today we're going to go through the whole report. As I mentioned, you probably have downloaded it. If you haven't, why is my question. If you have, and you've still joined us, then appreciate the support. But there is, you're going to find value anyways, because I'm going to talk about a few things, that we didn't cover in the free version of the report. I'm going to give you some slides from the pro edition, and also give you maybe a bit of insight beyond just the stuff that we can pack into the report, because yeah, the report itself is quite rich, but we have so much more data that we want to talk about, but we can't get it all in there. In terms of resources, this is another one that you might find useful if you're not familiar with. This is what we call our sports tech map. On it, we plot all the investors, the accelerators, the innovation initiatives in the world of sports. We put that all in on this place, just to make a nice centralized resource for all of you. But in today's session, I'm going to keep it pretty simple. Yeah, rule of three that we borrowed from Aristotle, and say that we're going to go over the numbers in detail. We're going to go over the key trends that we've identified and a look at the investor ecosystem and how that has changed, because there have been some pretty important updates. One more slide. A word to our partners, without whom makes our work much harder. They support us financially and in other ways. Match Ventures is the new sports tech fund on the block. It's a $40 million fund, which will be working very closely with at Sports Tech X. They're based out of Luxembourg, but they bring with them a wealth of experience. It's the team behind Indigo Sports Tech, along with the team behind Mindspring Capital, combining forces with us at Sports Tech X to mount Match Ventures. You can take a look at the website. That's all we've got for now. And there's a little form that you can fill up if you're a startup that's interested in connecting with them. You'll probably be speaking to me, so feel free to reach out to me as well. But there is the GPs of Match Ventures are a story team. So good people behind the fund. So take a look at them. On the startup partner side, we've got Crick HQ, Factorial, Sports Central, Respo Vision, and Ping. Factorial and Respo Vision making a repeat in our content. They were also in our ecosystem reports. Thanks to those guys. Crick HQ, Sports Central, and Ping came in for this edition. We usually have five startup spots that we like to feature, to give each one of them enough space. And these are the five that we invited into our report. What we also had in our report this year was our first ever Sports Tech X Startup Spotlight, where we actually picked, we had an application pool, fairly template startup competition, but we wanted to give them some visibility on our channels. And this is who we found. We had nearly 100 applications in a very short span of time, all very cool companies. Minglesport is in football, they're a Dutch company. Flow State are all for surfers. If you're into surfing, they might be able to help you. It's an AI camera to track your surfing. It's a sport that I got into a bit last year, thoroughly enjoyed myself, recommend it to anyone. So Flow State might help you become a better surfer if that's your jam. And Fanblock, a South African company, they will, again, a very innovative solution. We've seen this template before. If you remember what the Australian Open had, where a couple of years ago called AO Art Ball, where they divided the court into squares. I think it was a little under 7,000 squares, 6996, if I remember it correctly. So you, through an NFT, can own a piece of the court. Now, you might not like the word NFT. It has whatever connotations it does to you. But the underlying technology is really strong, especially when it comes with good use cases. So what AO Art Ball did by dividing the court into small blocks, and the winning championship point landed on your block, then your block had some increased value. You could say Roger Federer won that point on my block. Similarly, they do this for football teams. They've done it for AC Milan, for Tottenham Hotspur. So some innovative solutions, feel free to check them out. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to why we're here. We're going to talk about the Sports Tech Report. I'm going to give this about 30 minutes or so. So not too much time wasted. And I want to save some time for questions. If you've been following content at all, then you know that 2023 was a pretty weak year for funding in sports tech. Maybe I'll make this full screen so that it's easier for you guys to see the numbers. Yeah. 2023 was a tough year for sports tech, $2 billion in funding, but M&A activity surged. It was the biggest year for M&A activity. So for funding, just purely, it was the weakest year that we've seen since we've started recording this data, which is as of 2014. But for M&A, it was the highest. It was the year of consolidation, we're calling it. A very interesting year in the sports tech world. Top companies, biggest round was 265 million raised by VSPO, which is a Chinese esports tournament organizer. China was a market that made some interesting bets in the sports tech world this year. Six new unicorns entered the space, 32 in total. Eagle-eyed observers will remember that our last year's report had 39 unicorns. This year it's down to 32, including six new names. So you can do the math quickly yourself. There have been quite a few names that have dropped off this list, but at the same time, new ones emerge. It's the cycle of life. Without getting too dramatic, this is the nature of the beast. There are always companies raising rounds and getting high valuations, especially in 21 and 22 when we saw these peak numbers. Some of those have dropped off, but there are new entrants ready to take their place. In terms of trends, we're going to cover this in a bit more detail. There were 34 new funds, including Match Ventures, that we have plotted on our sports tech map, all announced in 2023. So while there wasn't much capital being deployed, there were a lot of funds making their way into the market. And the top subsector was fitness hardware, which continues to attract a lot of investor interest. In fact, most of the unicorns that dropped off the list were fitness hardware solutions, yet investors continue to back that space. All right, who else? We got Amir from Iran. Hey, Amir, Action AI Sport, a startup in Iran. Would love to chat, Amir. I don't think we have too many startups based out of Iran. So feel free to reach out. You're already on LinkedIn, I can see. Drop me a line if you're not already connected, or yeah, we'd love to hear more from you and also about the local startup, sports tech startup ecosystem. All right. The five-year funding chart, probably the chart that is we're best known for, we're the only ones who do stuff like this, certainly we're the first ones to do stuff like this. Starting from 2019 to 2023, the green bar on the left, the light green bar, is the funding number. The gray bar on the right is the M&A number. And normally, we've only been showing the green bar because it's a funding chart. It's the investment landscape. But this year, if you can see the green bar, how it's found a beautifully symmetrical downhill slope. It's almost a straight line from the heights of 21 to the depths of 23. There was a pretty big drop-off. In 2021, we crossed $12 billion in investment. In 2023, that was just about $2 billion, so significant drop-off. So the team and I, when we were reviewing this data, we're like, what are we going to talk about in this year's report? Like, Where is the action? What's our story? What's the story for the segment? And we always have a page further down in the report on M&A to showcase the M&A activity. And while the charts were getting ready, I had a look at that page and boom, I was surprised. We had seen a lot of deal flow through the year, but I didn't expect the number to be as high as it was. And you can see it right there, $12 billion nearly of M&A activity, taking the combined M&A plus funding activity to almost $14 billion, which makes it second in the ranking of all-time years. So 2023 saw the second highest amount of sports tech deal flow only after 2021. Even 22, which is a strong funding year, $8.5 billion invested in the space, didn't have as much M&A activity. Their total, it was just 3.2, so a little over $11 billion. Versus 2023, it's nearly $14 billion. So a lot of activity we saw just in a different side of the market. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. 21, we saw huge skyrocketing valuations from the end of 20. In fact, most of those two pillars that you see for 2020 were all in Q4. Most of 2020 was, of course, pandemic-induced lockdowns. So 2020 Q4, there was a lot of buzz. 21 Q1, boom. Everything exploded. SPACs were flying around like everybody and their uncle was opening a SPAC. There was mega deals happening in the fitness space. Peloton's valuation was soaring. Mirror, Tonal, all these guys raising big rounds. And you saw a huge jump in 21. And after fitness, other sports as well. There was a Football World Cup last year, right? There was so much happening in the sports world, which came out of its pandemic-induced slumber, and investors were abuzz. And all those startups suddenly found the crunch. So they might have raised a lot of capital at a big valuation. And now, cutting into 23, where the capital is dried up, they've spent a lot of the money that they raised, and they haven't found a follow-on round because, yeah, the global investment landscape dried up. It wasn't just in sports tech. It was across the board. We've seen startup investment numbers go down. That said, Q4 of this year has already looked much better than the other quarters. I believe it will be the best quarter of the year. So we're ending strong again, giving good reason for optimism. If you cover our newsletter, if you haven't signed up yet, please do. You'll see the amount of deals that we've been announcing just in the last few weeks. The team's been added. We have this top deals of the week section, and that section has just gotten bigger and bigger, which is an interesting thing for us to see as well. So Q4 seems to be ending the year with some optimism, but the previous part of the year didn't have much except on the M&A side. So this year of consolidation, how money, capital was being moved around instead of funding, fueling equity-based activities, so for exchange of equity in this company to fuel their growth, this was more, hey, can we put these pieces together, acquire these guys, acquire those guys, and build hopefully a healthier company, consolidate the talent that is maybe spread out a bit too far, bring it under the right umbrellas, and then build again. And I think these are the companies that will get fueled, and these are the companies that will likely, hopefully as well, end up on our unicorns chart, which comes later in the report. Quick word on the average and medium deal sizes. Yeah, of course, when the deal flow activity is much lower than in previous years, then it's certainly last couple of years, then the number falls fairly drastically, especially the median deal flow activity. But so I won't spend too much time there. Just know that it's swayed by the reduced number. Where has this funding taken place? US will always dominate this list. It seems clear. This is the biggest sports tech market in the world, and that tag is not going anywhere. If you total the funding for the last 5 years, it's a little over $32 billion almost. Yeah? It is about $32 billion. And if you look at that number for US, I hope you can read it all right, 16.25. So about half that funding comes from the US market, or goes into, I should say, rather, US-based startups. Some of you might be surprised, and hopefully not too many, because if you've been following our content, you know this. India and China are next on that list, and they have been for a while. Those top three positions have not shifted since last year. Those are growing sports tech markets, but not so much in 23. And I'll come to that in a second. The rest of the list feels fairly standard. Germany and the UK bumped up a position as Canada dropped a couple. France, Brazil, Israel, and Sweden all retained their ranks. So not much of shift in the top five, in the top 10 countries by funding list for the five-year period. Again, this is just maths. When the contribution of 2023 to the five-year period is not that much, then it's not going to have a big impact in shifting the ranks around. Only Germany and UK saw a bit of movement, while Canada hardly saw any. Looking at the 23 list, only, again, USA tops the list, but not as much of a margin. If you look at the 2 billion total figure that we're likely to hit, then the US is coming in for a little over a quarter of that. China and Germany are in 2 and 3, UK, Brazil, India. So familiar names, just a jumbled up order. What are not familiar are names of Philippines and Isle of Man. Interesting names to be thrown on the list. But again, I have to caveat that with saying you probably won't see a country on there with just 7 million in funding in a normal year. This was an anomaly, and I expect the more familiar names, places like Israel, which didn't show up in 2023, to be back on the list come next year. All right, we have Behzad from Mumbai. He's looking to enter the sports tech ecosystem. He is a former national level sportsman and is interested to contribute. Welcome to the stream, Behzad. Glad to have you on here. Moving quickly on to the cities, we've got Jacksonville in top spot. Again, if you know, you know. It's one of those cases. Jacksonville is in top spot because it is home to the biggest sports tech company in the world called Fanatics. They are a e-commerce supplier. If you're unfamiliar with them, you should be familiar with them pretty quick. They're the biggest, most valuable sports tech company in the world. At their last valuation, it was $31 billion, if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe they raised around after that, but their IPO, I'm sure they would hope, will be at a higher valuation than that, and that IPO is imminent. Mr. Rubin has been busy in the background. So Jacksonville, home to Fanatics, one company, which is why if you see the second column after next to the amount, you'll see a rank by number of startups. So here we tell you how many startups there are in that ecosystem. Jacksonville is way, way, way down. What is not down is London. They're the top country, a top city, I should say, for number of startups, sports tech related. They're fifth in rank by funding. New York City is second and second. So second biggest market for startups and second biggest market by funding. The Valley and San Francisco is well represented with 3 and 3 as well. A couple of Indian cities should be mentioned, Mumbai and Bangalore, my hometown. And Mumbai, we've got a bunch of people from the team who come from there, who live there right now. So showcasing the Indian ecosystem. And then you have Sao Paulo, Paris, to add on a few more non-US cities, which dominate this market, dominate this list. 5 out of 10 names are US cities. If you look at the 23 list, it's also 5 out of 10, but again, a shift, 5 out of 10 US cities, but again, a shift around. San Francisco goes up, New York comes down. Cities like Miami, we've never seen on this list before. Glad to, nice to see them on there. Hong Kong have been around for a while, in and out of this top list. But Shanghai go at number one on the back of one deal, the VSPO deal that I mentioned to you already. I have to say that the cities are not really as significant as countries in my perspective. I'll tell you why, is that cities, this list can be skewed by one startup which has raised a lot of money in any given year, and that'll boost a city's rank. Why the cities are more important is usually as where is the hub of the ecosystem, right? So the cities rank. The cities are important because the ecosystem that they represent kind of consolidates in that city. So for example, in Germany, it's Munich and Berlin are the two main cities where sports tech comes together. In Denmark, it's Copenhagen. In Sweden, it's Stockholm. In the UK, it's London. And there's not much else behind it. So the capitals tend to be where the ecosystem comes together. When you have places like Durham or Jacksonville, it's not really representative of the ecosystem. It's representative of one country. So if you're traveling to a new country and interested in connecting with people in the sports tech ecosystem there, you're better off sticking to the capitals. That's where you'll find the most amount of activity. All right, let's look at the cities. Let's look at the sectors. If you're familiar with our sports tech framework, then you know that we speak about the ecosystem in three parameters. Solutions for athletes, represented in purple. That is anything that helps an athlete perform or execute their sport better. Solutions for fans, represented in blue. That is anything that helps a fan engage with their sport better, enjoy that watching experience or participating in or in stadium or at home. And the solutions in green, B2B solutions, which are for executives, people working in the sports industry, as I'm sure some of you on the stream are, or maybe even hope to be. So these are things that help people in the industry, things like stadium management, venue management, CRMs, media production, stuff like that. All those kind of tools that help people working in the industry execute their jobs. Now, how does the funding get split up between these three sectors? On the left is the five-year period. On the right is only 2023. That's the drill across this presentation. For athletes at 38%, for fans at 51%. So for the five-year period, over half the funding has gone into solutions for fans. We split it up. You see three bars or two or three bars below each main bar, which is the subsectors. I won't go into too much detail now, but essentially we give you a second and third level of granularity. If you are a pro DB user, you can see the number split even further. So you can see what sector, what subsector, and what sub-subsector this investment happens in. Anyway, coming back to the numbers, for athletes at 38%, for fans at 51%, and for executives, the B2B part of the industry has always been at around 10-12%, was 11 for the five-year period. Looking only at 2023, it was at 13%, so a bit of a bump for B2B solutions in otherwise a rough year. And a lot of that had to do with Teamworks, a company that has raised a lot of money recently and has gone on a bit of an acquisition spree. In fact, this is a classic case of exactly what I was talking about. Instead, it seems like investors, instead of fueling a bunch of startups and making bets with a number of players, they consolidated. And I'm speaking about investors in general. But investment was consolidated into Teamworks, who then acquired a bunch of companies, and usually for non-cash deals. So these might be acqui-hires, maybe there's a bit of cash, there's a bit of equity swap. So it's a little less expensive than just investing equity. And it mitigates the risk a bit because Teamworks already has a strong revenue base, strong client base. They're in multiple markets, in multiple geographies. So when they enter a new market, they bring related to the startup that they're acquiring or that specific solution, they bring a wealth of solutions in there. So Teamworks has been very strategic in how they've been acquiring companies. I think by our account, I don't know if Vishnu is on the stream, he's our head of data. He can tell you, I think it's about 6 acquisitions that we saw over this year from Teamworks, might be more. But we saw Teamworks be very active in the deal flow space. That's a classic example of what I was talking about earlier, that money is being moved around. It's reaching the market, but just in a slightly different way. All right, so that is on the B2B segment in 23. How did the split between the two main sectors, for athletes and for fans? About 45 and 42. So for fan sector saw a slight decline over the five-year period, and there was a bit more investment in athletes, and especially in the fitness space. This is one that we keep talking about. Every year, it feels like fitness or for activity hardware is the top subsector. You could see it by the let's say length of the horizontal bar. E-gym is the longest one here, longer than any of the others. Versus on the five-year period, you'll see Fanatics is the longest bar. So fan experiences is the top subsector for that five-year period, whereas it is for activity hardware for 2023. Looking at the top companies, these are more names that you might be familiar with already. And if you're not, then maybe it's relevant to get to know them. These companies have all raised significant amounts of money over the last 5 years or so. On left side is not 5 years, it's all time. So from the time that we've been tracking this data, and on the right is only 2023. Right, so Fanatics in pole position, they've raised the most amount of capital. Peloton, a company that was at one point worth over $30 billion, now is worth not even a billion. They've seen a huge drop-off in their activity, customer base, and valuation. Dream 11, a daily fantasy sports player based out of India, Do You and Huya, esports streaming platforms, esports and gaming, a couple of Web3 players, Animoca Brands, and Sorare, and more fitness, CureFit, Zwift, and MindBody. So Zwift isn't really fit. It's like fitness slash athlete training, you could argue, for Zwift. But all big companies that have raised significant chunks of money. On the right-hand side, for only 2023, the SPO in the esports space, but then a few fitness guys, eGym, Tonal, GymPass, and then a couple of B2B guys, which is Teamworks and Veloce Media Group. I'm going to say Veloce, they're based out of London. And then again, a couple of Web3 guys, Animoca and Candy, and then Fan Experiences with F1 Arcade and Jump, who try to aggregate fan experiences for live events. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod backed company. I believe he is a co-founder there. And thanks, Vishnu, for the note. Teamworks has 5 acquisition deals in 2023, not 6. So maybe they have one, which they didn't release, but we have 5 in our database. With all of them, they haven't disclosed the acquisition amount. There's no deal value, which was published. So that's something worth noting. They like doing their deals a bit on the quiet, right? Perfect segue into my next slide on acquisitions. On the left are the biggest deals, which where the deal value was disclosed. As you may know, with any of our charts, we only talk about disclosed numbers. And there might be other numbers that we know through our network or just by being in the industry, but we won't publish those. It is only which has a public source where the deal value is disclosed. So this is the same process we follow for acquisitions as well. You can see some of the biggest deals have come from the esports space, which is backed by Saudi Money, another market, a sovereign state getting interested in in sports in general, esports in this case, but a couple of betting plays in Barstool and 365 Scores, a couple of content plays from Better Collective, a really interesting mix of companies. Also markets, you look at the last one, it is a Egyptian company acquiring a Emirati, a UAE-based company. So very interesting to see the mix of where the deals took place. Israeli companies involved, Japanese, American, Canadian, all sorts. Looking at, on the right-hand side, we've just picked up a selection of deals that we thought were worth mentioning. So for example, Playtomic, who are a Spanish company, who are growing, who are at the forefront of the adoption of Paddle and, well, primarily Paddle. I don't know if they have an application for pickleball yet, but a company that is leveraging the fast-growing Paddle market. They acquired AirCourts. DAZN acquired Atta Football, which is focused on women's sports. You had Strava, which bought Berlin-based FatMap. That's an outdoor activity. Teamworks is on there in number 6, picking up Smarterbase. Yahoo, who bought Wager, like lots of deals happening.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter.
Just to show you,
you'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem.
Paired
with exclusive interviews with
Indian companies, game theory acquiring, match days, Spanish, Portuguese, American, Egyptian, Emirati.
SportsTechX.com.
Yeah, really, really UK based as well. Really, really interesting mix of companies. This is the list of 32 unicorns that we have plotted on a nice looking map. I like to think our content looks pretty nice. Ryan, our designer, does an amazing job. Shout out to Ryan. Boy in Tree, if you need connection with our, if you like our visuals and you have some work done, feel free to get in touch with him. But coming back to this, you can see that a big chunk of the unicorns are based in the US. In fact, a little over half of them, half of the 32. But there are a few in other parts of the world. You've got 4 in India, 1 in Brazil, 3 in 4 in Europe, a bunch in China and Hong Kong. So it's an interesting mix to see this actually spread out, plotted on a map. We actually even had a couple. I think we had one from Australia last year, which has fallen off the map quite literally. And yeah, it was a 39 last year. This has come down to 32, but 6 new names. So the churn goes on. Now, a couple of little additional tidbits. This is from the pro edition of the report. We give you a monthly breakdown of how the deal flow has happened, has taken place in 23. And the reason for this is just to see some sort of pattern emerge and where investor activity is higher, especially for startups. And if you look at our previous reports, you'll see which quarters usually there is a bit more activity on. The Q4 usually ends pretty strong. We've seen that historically. And Q2 is usually a slow period. It's like people want to get their deal flow news out at the end of the year before they break off, or right at the start of the year in Q1 and Jan and Feb to, you know, start the year on a strong note. And then it kind of, you know, evens out a bit. But not this year. This year, I mean, it's such a tentpole kind of year. We said, you know, lots of peaks and troughs, one big deal, and suddenly you've got a tall pillar there. So not the best representation of this, of what would be a normal, let's say, distribution for funding over the year. But it was interesting to see how it broke down in 2023. This is a more relevant slide for those of you on here. These are who are the most active investors in the startup ecosystem over the 5-year period, plus just in 2023. So you'll see for each investor, and we've categorized them by investors who are sub $1 million tickets and above $1 million tickets. The reason for that, it's a very rudimentary split. And without going into series A or which series and so on, and the later stage tickets, there are anyway very few. So it's not worth saying that you're very unlikely to find a super late stage investor that has a large portfolio, right? Especially not one with domain focus. So we focus on the early stage side of the market, and who are the guys cutting the early checks? People like Y Combinator. You might be surprised to know that quite a few sports tech startups come out from there. Techstars, of course, has a few programs in different parts of the world. Indigo Sports Tech, who are former partners of ours, they have a very healthy portfolio, more than a lot of names that you might think of. Lead Sports, who've run programs in Berlin, also in Florida. Stadia Ventures were probably the most active early stage investor. Because they had a huge, they had one of the most active accelerator programs, which they've unfortunately closed down now. Same with QST, with Qatar Sports Tech, which after the World Cup is no longer super active. They do some stuff, but they're not as active as they were before the World Cup. And this is likely maybe something that we'll see as we gear up to to the US for the next Football World Cup. And of course, the next World Cup after that, in 2030, and the one in 34 in Saudi Arabia. You might see a similar example to QST. On the right-hand side, Courtside Ventures, arguably the OGs of the investment landscape, but names like KB Partners and Will Ventures and Elysian Park, very, very familiar names to sports tech investors and startups especially. A breakdown of investments by deal size. So number and the amount, obviously the smaller tickets, there are the highest number of them, but the amount they contribute is pretty small. Also, it should be said that a lot of small tickets usually fall into the category right at the bottom, which is the undisclosed bucket, where, yeah, we don't know what the deal size was, but we suspect it would have been sub 1 million. But we keep it separate anyway because we don't know for sure. So the smaller tickets contribute the least amount of the smaller tickets contribute the least amount of funding. 1 to 10 million ticket has the most amount of tickets. So 1 to 10 million ticket size. That's interesting to see that it's almost like a Series A round is available and more. So more than just an early stage round. So if you've got your seed funding through, there is a decent chance that you'll get your Series A through. At least that's what the numbers say. After that, the drop-off is pretty quick. So if you think about how many deals there were at that 1 to 10 million size, it's a very sharp drop-off to how many there were at the next ticket size. So what has happened? Either those companies have become revenue sustainable, so they're self-sustainable, which is great, or they've probably burned through some capital and disappeared and have had to merge or something, which would be the vast majority of instances. And the rest of the funnel you see kind of narrow out a bit more in an expected way, except when you cross 100 million, then you continue to get more. The rich get richer. So after the 50 to 100 million bracket, the number of deals actually goes up to cross the 100 million bracket, which is interesting to see. The funnel kind of inverts at that point. It's an interesting, I always find this chart fascinating to see how money kind of flows through the ecosystem. So you see, you'd expect it to be linear, but it clearly is not. It kind of, early stage is possible, then Series A, your chances go up. Then it's a sharp drop off to B and C series, unless you survive till you're about to go public, and then you could continue to get capital as well. All right, so that is all the big data. I'm going to talk about the trends in the ecosystem. So number one was how many new funds there were. And this is a big thing because there is a lot of capital waiting to be deployed. We've seen how in capital went to not to startups through equity, but actually through acquisition. But how does equity come back into play? Because new startups have to emerge. The ones who didn't get their funding in 21 and 22, all the other guys, what do they do? And this is where a lot of these funds will come into play. Trend two, while we're seeing M&A soaring in sports tech, what is happening in the sports market? And you'll see that there was some major, major deals that took place in 2023. Not something that we've seen a lot of in previous years. So interesting to see soaring valuations and multiple new entrants come into the sports tech ownership landscape. And third one, a little breakdown of the hottest subsector, fitness hardware. Starting with the funds, we've classified them into certain logical clusters. We've got athlete-led investors or athlete-led funds, of which there are plenty. You can look at Apex Capital, which is founded by Antonio Felix da Costa, the Formula E world champion, and he's combined with investors from his own sport, other athletes from his own sport, including Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris from the motorsport world, people like Anthony Joshua, and others who have joined up for Apex Capital. They're a fund that is doing a lot of very interesting work. Atletico Ventures, who have Antoine Griezmann, Carton Capital, the third name on that list. This is a fund, a $10 million fund based out of Florida in the US by CC Bellis. CC is a former WTA Tour world number 35. And she comes with a wealth of experience or some experience in the VC landscape. So it's not just, you might not know that name, CC Bellis from the tennis tour. So it's not just the LeBron Jameses and Michael Jordans and of the world that are investing. There are athletes who are identifying this this market and trying to make the best of it. Mosaic Capital in the bottom right corner is Andre Iguodala, who recently retired and then mounted a $200 million fund, which is a pretty significant figure. And in between Carton and Mosaic, there's a dark P on there. Playtime Ventures, you might know the name. That is Leo Messi's fund. He's been an active sports tech investor for a few years as well. Talking about new funds, new entrants into the market, names like Dick's Sporting Goods, Rain, who's been a financial, let's say, consultant, or a deal investment banker in some ways to facilitate deals, some of the largest deals in sports. They announced a $760 million fund to invest in sports media and entertainment. the likes of TXV Capital, XV Capital, CenterCourt, based out of India. TXV is based out of Texas. VE2 Fund, based out of the Netherlands. So lots of new names coming out on the market. And alongside the new names, you have follow-on funds. These are names that have been around for a while and are now raising Fund 2 and Fund 3, which is as good an endorsement of the space as you can ever get, because it means that these guys were given capital from their LPs, managed to deploy it, did it successfully enough that they attracted new investors. And there was not just one or two of them, there are six by our account. So all of them, all of these funds, by the way, are bigger the second time around, much bigger in some cases than they were the first time around. KB Partners announced this 100 million second fund. I believe their first fund was at 50 million. Sapphire is 181 million second fund. And I believe the first was definitely below 100. Will Ventures, a similar story. So the second fund, Courtside, of course, their third fund, I should say, with Courtside. So a lot of these guys are raising their new funds with new LPs coming into the market. On the lower row, you've got some teams and leagues who are investing themselves. The likes of the NBA have an equity arm. The PGA Tour tied up with Elysian Park to launch a fund there. Atlanta Hawks, the basketball team, they have a fund. Titletown Tech is by the Green Bay Packers, the NFL team. So a bunch of sports teams realizing that they can invest themselves. Wildcard Ventures, they're not here because they were not new in 23, but Wildcard Ventures is another example. They buy Tennis Australia and they partner with the Australian Open, also have a startup program called AO Startups. So interesting stuff happening from the teams and leagues and federation side as well. Women's sports, a big driver of growth in sports. They found investment from the Australian government, the UK government, who have set up funds to invest in women's sports. Mercury 11, Monarch Collective, lots of funds which are only interested in acquiring women's sports rights or invest in female-led founders. And lastly, ending with gaming-related funds, we've got a couple, and I'm sure there are plenty more. Trend two, the soaring valuations and multi-billion dollar deals. I don't know if you were following the space, but the biggest deal that happened this year was in a space that maybe a lot of us might have laughed about or followed when we were kids. I certainly did. I was a huge wrestling fan, not so much of the UFC, but yeah, Bret Hart was my favorite, and the Attitude Era with The Rock and Stone Cold. I watched all of it, could not get enough of it, and thought you might outgrow it. But no, actually, they've grown, outgrown anything else. The WWE is a $9 billion enterprise, which merged with a $12 billion enterprise in the UFC to create a combined entity at which they've called TKO Group, technical knockout, of over $21 billion, delivering quite a knockout punch to the sports tech ecosystem as well. And that is setting the bar really, really high. We've seen other deals in the, let's say, talent management space, but also for sports properties. Matt Ishbia bought the Phoenix basketball teams for a little over $4 billion. Michael Jordan sold his stake in the Charlotte Hornets for $3 billion. You had Mark Cuban recently selling his stake for $3.5 billion in the Dallas Mavericks. Manchester United's very famous, famously courted and yet to be confirmed sale to Jim Ratcliffe and the Ineos Group. So these multi-billion dollar valuations, AC Milan, who through Red Bird Capital have brought in LeBron James and Drake onto their cap table. And I mean, it's incredible the number of names that are getting interested in the space. And these are not figures that you saw a couple of years ago. This is a trend that sports valuations are increasing. And the guys who are buying these teams, the people, men and women who are buying these teams, are not, let's say, just aficionados and, oh, I'm supporting my local team. No, these are financial investors who are looking to make a multiple on the capital that they've invested. They believe that there is further upside here. And that's why they're coming in at these $3 and $4 billion valuations. They hope to get to, like what Mark Cuban did, $285 million he bought the Dallas Mavericks for in the year 2001. In 2023, he sold it for $3.5 billion. That's a decent holding of 20 years, but look at that capital appreciation. And there are very few industries that can give you that kind of upside in sports is one of them. Lastly, I'm going to finish with the hottest subsectors, fitness hardware, where investors continue to back companies. We've seen a lot of companies disappear in this segment, a lot of value disappear. Yet every year, 30% of the funding seems to go to fitness hardware. It feels like investors are kind of brute forcing the space into reality. Tonal is a good example. Tonal, a company that raised their previous round, $600 million at, I believe it was somewhere near a $3 billion valuation. They're down, the current round, $130 million at a $600 million valuation. So quite a drop off there, but they still raise funding and they're still getting back because maybe there's value to be unlocked there. The likes of Replayer, Hoop, eGym, all interesting companies in this space. Before I jump on, I think that I want to talk about with trends is the amount of new money that's coming into sports from multiple directions. You've got obviously the investors, there is new private equity which enters the space. There are sovereign wealth funds, the like of Qatar and Saudi and Abu Dhabi and all these guys who are entering the sports space. And when they invest in sports, they naturally some amount comes to sports innovation as they look for new solutions. And the third is big tech. Amazon, Apple, Google, Facebook, Netflix did not have the sports content 2 or 3 years ago that they do now. As they continue to invest in broadcasting rights, you can best believe that innovation in broadcasting, my personal hottest subsector to watch in 2024, will ramp up even more than it has in 2023, especially as sports leagues continue to play around with direct-to-consumer broadcasting as well. So quite a few formats that they can play with. So my point is that there is capital coming in from multiple directions into the sports economy, and a big good chunk of that will flow through into sports tech as well. I've got a couple of questions, so let me pick those up before I jump into my last section. Ibrahim Chowdhury asks, are these all acting looking interested in fundraising internationally, or is there a similar data about these funds as per geographical regions focus? I assume you're talking about the investors, Ibrahim. Yes, most sports tech investors will invest where the good opportunities are. So they're not bound by geographies. They will have a preference. They will say usually we are Europe first or US first or whatever the case may be, but they will look internationally as well. So feel free to reach out to anybody that you want to. Another one, I don't know who this is, there's no name, but you've read our May report and appreciate the analysis and trends. The highlight is the framework that is captured in such a, oh, that was just a comment. There's no question here. Just a nice word. Thank you, whoever that is. I can't thank you by name. Alexander says, hi. Hey, Alexander, a regular on our content. Appreciate you making the time. All right, a quick 5 minutes on the last couple of slides. The investor ecosystem. So if you have more questions, just drop them in the chat. The investor ecosystem, now this, I'm fairly sure you can't read a thing because the names are so small because we had so many to cram onto this page. So please download the report if you want more information, Ibrahim, or anybody else on who these investors are. And this is basically the landscape of, we have over nearly 100 sports tech dedicated funds, sports and sports tech dedicated funds, which are now emerged. 30 of them were only in the last year. So this list is growing super, super fast. It's a third that it has grown in a year. What I will direct you to is the bottom line. Look at the geographies. So you'll see it's super favored to the left. North America is the biggest market by far with the most amount of investors, including networks. Asia Pacific is a bit more narrow. Europe is a bit broader. But Europe, you don't see the usually see the big ticket sizes, which you do see in Asia. So a bit of compromise there. And rest of the world, we only have a couple of funds based out of Brazil that we include on our sports tech investor ecosystem. I'm sure there are lots of funds wherever you come from that are looking at sports. These are kind of sports first or sports tech first funds. We are looking to expand this list and try to bring you anybody that has invested in sports. Any fund which might have just one or two deals in that space, feel free to reach out if you are from those funds or know any of that information. All right, where are we? So we're A couple of questions. Who do we have? Mohan says, nice reports. Thank you, Mohan. He has a question. Dream 11 is apparently pivoting to invest in real sports tech. Any investment slash M&A that they have done? Yeah, Mohan, actually, this is not a new pivot. Dream Capital has been around for a while. I think I first got introduced to them in 2019 when they were kind of setting up. And then just before the pandemic, they were already active. They have done a couple of deals. Fancraze, I think, was a big one that they did in the NFT space. They also have been building, kind of running like a venture studio. So they're building solutions in-house as well. I haven't seen any active deal flow from them in the last year or so. I suspect after their unsuccessful attempt to get into the NFT space, this has been a bit of a correction for them. But if we hear of anything, it'll definitely be in our reports. Hey, Semyon, again, also, we just met in Belgrade. Good to see you here again. Though, I mean, you've already heard me go through all of this. So if you've hung around for the hour, I appreciate you. That's it. This is a snapshot of the entire ecosystem. Okay, I've got a follow-up question from Mohan. Yes, Dawan and Center Court are unlisted, but no, neither of them have any deal flow yet. Dawan, first to my knowledge, are yet still raising their fund. Center Court, which is backed by JSW Sports. So Mohan is asking specifics. A question specific to the Indian sports tech ecosystem. For anybody who doesn't know about these names, Dhawan is the sport tech fund by Shikhar Dhawan, a $75 million fund that they announced, but I've spoken to them since the start of the year. They told me that they would be doing a lot of things. I'm yet to see it. And same with Center Court. JSW, I believe, is a much more tangible fund that you'd see. I expect to see some activity from pretty soon. I had a call with them just a week or so ago where they have a different initiative that they're working on. So Center Court, I'm more optimistic about. That one is like a wait and watch. I hope that they come out with more positive news soon. All right. So this is a global investor snapshot of the region, the five-year funding, which you've seen in one play on one of the first charts, the top five countries, the top five companies, the funding by sector, the funding by B2B and B2C. We also have these same overviews for each region. So for North America, Asia Pacific, Europe, rest of world, we have them for each subsector. So you can, if you really want to, you can really drill down into all the various charts available in this, the pro version of the report. A little upsell, I won't talk to you too much about it. If you haven't, if you're interested in knowing more, know first, of course, there is a reason that we put out a pretty rich, I like to believe, a pretty rich free version of the report. But there is a paid version, a pro version, which has even more. It's about 17 additional pages. For context, that's almost 40% of the report added on with, as you can see, details about the regional overviews, more lists of top 100 companies, summaries of IPOs and mergers and investment by deal size. I've shown you a couple of these charts today if you were there for the whole session. So hopefully you found that interesting. And if you want to, we have an offer running till the end of the year that if you buy the report, you'll get a free Sports Tech DB Pro access as well. That is it. That is me done with a couple of minutes to spare. Thank you for everybody who stayed on the stream for so long. I've tried to pick up all the questions that I've had so far. But I think it's a super exciting time to live and work in this industry. It's one that you really feel the momentum building in. It's an industry where you feel the momentum building. And that's driven by the fact that there is capital coming in from multiple sources. I mentioned the new funds. I mentioned the new geographies. I mentioned the big tech, which is investing in sports in a bigger way. So this momentum that is building, and especially with all that capital waiting to be deployed, I think 24 is going to be a really interesting year. And not just 24, I think the next 5-10 years, a super interesting time as sports becomes, let's say, the center of attention for the global financial world. All right, I'm going to end the stream right now. Thanks so much, you guys, for joining. And we'll have a very Merry Christmas. Lots of love and good energy to you and your loved ones. Enjoy the end of the year. Have a strong, healthy, safe one. And wish you a super great start to the new year as well. All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.